Blog Talk Radio.
We have to remember that God is good all the time. You guys, I'm just so excited to be here with you. God is good. This is Good Deeds, and you know, this is Dr. Renee Sunday. We love you, love you, love you, and we want to let you listen to this wonderful song we have. I met these wonderful, wonderful young people, and we're going to actually share their wonderful song, and guess what? The name of the song is Good, and we know God is good. It's amazing. Let's listen to it right now, you guys.
Lord, you are gentle and spirit good, and Lord, I love you like you do.
When I look up at the night stars, Lord, I see your face. When I wake up in the daytime, Lord, I feel your grace. And Lord, I thank you for keeping me in line and in place. And Lord, I thank you for keeping me on the steady pace. And even though it's rough, you help me to stay tough. And Lord, I thank you for molding me into the warrior I need to be, to see your place to go up in this industry. Lord, please lift us up higher so we can get your word out more. Psalms it says, I will rejoice and be glad in thee. I will sing praise unto thy name, O Most High. And I'd like for everybody to join along with us by singing back unto the Lord all the praise that he deserves by saying,
Lord, you are King, oh, oh, he's good. Lord, you are King, oh, oh, he's good. Lord, you are King, oh, oh, he's King, oh, oh, he's King, oh, oh, he's good. Lord, you are King, oh, oh, he's good. And Lord, I love you, that you make my Lord. Lord, you are King, oh, oh.
You guys, I truly enjoyed that. Now, the name again is Good, and the wonderful international artist, their name is Jeff B. and P. Logic. They're, now, check them out on Facebook now. It's Facebook, and you know it's / B. W-I-L-L-I-N. And their company name is Message Records Entertainment. I truly enjoy that because we know God is good. Well, he's good all the time, of course, right? And again, you guys, you know this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. We have an awesome, awesome, awesome young man with us today. We have an international author, poet, and actor. I mean, he's the real deal, you know? But, you know, when I talk to him on the phone, I could tell the peace of God and the anointing that's on his life. And we're going to actually bring him right on in because, you know, we just got to make sure we actually get all this wonderful information that he has to share. Now, his name is T.K. Ware. Don't you like that? That actually sounds international to me. But T.K. Ware, welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Deeds. How you doing?
I'm great, great. Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
Wow. It's just amazing for you to be here. Now, international, author, poet, author, and the list can go on, of course, right?
Yeah,
but just tell us a little bit about us. Tell everybody a little bit more about yourself and your journey.
All right. Well, for one thing, a lot of people who are familiar with me, especially around the Troy area and parts of Georgia and other parts, they only know me as TK, or the TK stands for my name, which is Tashambi Kinchoya Ware. And we use the initials TK so that wherever someone may see, whether they Google me or whatnot, then they see TK and they'll know who I am. Originally, I'm from Georgia. And as most people, you know, we, you know, grow up in a loving home and a lot of things that we endeavor into, a lot of things that we get caught up in, is because of choice. So just like every young guy, I ran and I was very athletic, and because of the athletic skills which I possessed, then I was able to get different scholarships here and there. And it was when I got in my latter years, which is early teens, that I began to really go far out there. So when the Lord began to allow me to write books, and then I find out that my books are making it to the United Kingdom and parts of France. And to some people, they are like, wow, that's something. But to me, it's more than something, because I remember when I used to be that young guy, that teenager, that was drinking, that was running, that was going to clubs, that just did everything that you shouldn't do, I did. And growing up in a loving home, I remember my parents couldn't understand why, when I choose this route, when everything was provided, it was because of choice. Sin is pleasurable during that time, and we don't think about the consequences. Well, just like any other young person, I did the same, and moved from Albany to Macon. And from there, that's where I got really far out there and had little emphasis with policemen and jail time, numerous occasions. And it was there, it's ironic, but it was there when I was locked up and confined. And I remember it like it was yesterday, so I'm not ashamed of my testimony. You know, the Bible declares that we overcome. You know, and you know, when people see me, I don't want them to see me as a bestseller, or that I was able to, you know, perform in a movie and go to the movie theater and watch myself on the big screen, this Christian movie. And I also did Christian CDs and so many other things. But I want them to see if God can do it for TK, he can do it for anyone. I remember being in that cell, and there was this older guy. This has been several years ago, but I remember like it was yesterday. And he was reading a small little book. It was a weird little book. And I asked him, I said, what is that thing you read? What is that? And he said, it's the Bible. And I remember him saying, well, he gave it to me. And I don't know why the Lord had to send me or allow me to go through all those things and get to in this jail cell to give me a chance or interest into his word, because at the route I was going, I have no idea where I would be. But I began to open the Bible, and I asked the guy, what should I begin reading? And he said his best story in the beginning. And I began reading it, and miraculous things happened in the jail. My whole case got wiped out. Strangest thing is I wasn't supposed to even be there. That was part of a procedure that I can never get arrested again or I will be gone forever. But in the midst of all of that, grace and mercy came in, and my life changed from that day until now. And I've just been, as a song that says, running for the Lord, and I've just been running. And when I got out, that's when the Lord opened the door for me to go into different churches. And I sit there and just my whole life just transformed. That's a quick summary of everything.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But let's actually, if you will, let's talk a little bit more, because, you know, I'll be transparent, because people know I'm very transparent. I went to visit a fellow friend of mine in the confinement. And, I grew up in the hood, you know, and I tell people, Lord, the Lord, yes, he kept me and keeping me, yes. But, you know, that's a whole nother realm.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize, you know, I hate to say it, you know, how your mom say you're going to make a decision that you can't, you know, that the God, the only person that can bring you back. You know, my grandma used to say that all the time. But just tell me, when you, thank God for that young man that God put him in the path, that the man that actually gave you the word. But what would actually, did you keep the hope, did you keep the faith, you know, to while you were there? What actually kept you going while you were inside?
There's a four-letter word, and I've learned later in my years, it's an acronym, fear. Fear is basically evidence appearing real. And when most people, especially young people, I don't care how big or bad they are, and how, you know, even if they have a relationship with God or not, when you go into that type of environment, you're dealing with all types of people. But yet, there's something even more than just that. You're dealing with different personalities and different types of spirit mindset. So, fear. And because you don't know if your life is going to end. So here I am, and the thing is, I didn't even, church to me back then was like a foreign land. I had no desire, didn't want to go, and I was so fearful that I remember when I first stepped into there, and when the next day I began to pick up pieces of the ground, because I'm in this environment, and these people are looking rugged. And they're looking, they've been there for years and years. And I knew deep down I wasn't supposed to be here. So I'm picking up pieces of dirt and trash off the ground, throwing up on my clothes and trying to make myself look rugged. As in, so that I can, because fear had overtaken me. And it's when that fear overtakes you, that's when Satan starts whispering in your ear. So then it makes you just see deeper and deeper and deeper. And at a moment, I had lost hope. Because before I met this gentleman in the cell, I was sitting down on the outside, and I lost hope. I thought I was going to be just bound here. And I started to get just my whole mindset, body just shut down, because I didn't know how I get here. And I remember praying, if you get me out of here, I'll change. And I meant it with my heart. And I know everyone who goes in, they will probably say that same prayer. Some people are praying that prayer because of circumstances, because of situations, because of their inability to perform or do certain tasks. But I meant it from the bottom of my heart. And that's one thing God knows, when we're real and when we're fake. So I can pray something, and another man can pray something, and God knows whose prayer is sincere. So when I prayed that prayer, my hope returned. And things happen at a rapid speed that, to this day, there is no record. To this day, I have no idea how things went the way they went. I had to go in court while I was in there. And he looked at my case and said, you're free to go. And it baffled me. I stood up and I'm looking like a deer caught in the headlights. I wonder, I'm just as if to say, did you read the stuff that they He looked at me and said, you're free to go. And I kind of backpedaled, and I got out of there, and things happened so quickly. God began to move people out of my life that was not for me. And it was as if he was moving everything that the enemy tried to bring down or place in my path to detour me from getting to what God had already. That's Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think toward these things, God. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, but to give you an expected end. So God already has a plan and purpose. It's just up to us to get in line and start walking the path. Because when we start walking it, then he'll help out. And after that, my whole life changed. And when I got out, I had no desire to ever go back. And I'm not going to sit there and say, well, yes, I just stopped doing. No. No. That would be, I would be lying. But my desire had changed and shifted. So now my desire, which was one thing to do wrong, now my conscience is more toward not doing wrong. And so over a period of time, God began to shift. So when I, now when I see people that's been in that place, I understand the mindset that they have. So instead of me coming to them in a condemning way, I can come and relate. I can come and sit down and sup with them and understand where they are. And then show them and tell them some of the things that I've done. And that God is no respecter of person. If he did it for me, I mean, I'm the things that I've done, and here I am on this side, then surely he can do it for you. So it was a journey that I don't regret, because if it wasn't for that journey, I wouldn't be right here where I am today.
Oh, glory. You got, I'm in tears and shouting and everything else. I can hardly say it. Right, yeah, like, ooh, hallelujah. God is good in every situation that we're in, okay? We just have to, and I always say this, you have to believe, trust, and you got to walk it out. But let's talk about this. You have so many awesome books. Let's talk about your recent book, because I was like, oh, my God, this is, you know, as the kids say, oh, the change. This is a powerful, powerful book, your new book, and it's going to change the world. I mean, seriously.
Yes, it's called A Husband's Love. And one prior to that was called Caveat of Penitent, which is more of a, I guess you could say it bears the essence of the scripture that says, talks about the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count flatness, but is long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to repentance. So that first book was more of a, these kids, or I took fragments of my life and entwined it with fiction and created a story that is reality. So these people are going to different things and they dying and seeing the glimpse of hell. And then at the end of the book, there's one person who's trying to save them from going down this path. So it's a great, and a lot of people were touched by that one. So when it was time to write another one, I remember I walked past this person, and I remember hearing the title, just as if someone whispered in my ear, said, A Husband's Love. And he told me, but this time, write a story about my grace and mercy. So in A Husband's Love, you have a bad guy, a guy who's doing whatever he wants to do. He ends up following this young lady to a church, and over a period of time, the God she serves becomes the God he serves. So later on, the people that he did those things with find him, and they have a lot of vengeance in their heart. And, of course, we have angels showing up, and the whole story, the essence of the story is that regardless of your past, whatever you have done or are doing, feel grace and mercy. And it's all at the cross. And there was this young man. He read the book, and out of all the accolades, out of all the bestseller list that I've made, and it was doing a promotion where it reached the top. It was number one among African American Christian literature, and in parts all over the world in France. And I just stopped looking. I said, "What, Jesus?" But this young guy told me, he said, he read the book and he said it touched him to a certain point that it made him want to change his life and go back to God. And that touched me out of anything, any award I may have had. That other people have told me the same thing, that they felt as if the characters was themselves and that they're going to turn their life back to God. That's my whole purpose of writing. I'm not looking for any type of accolades or any type of awards or anything. Every story that I write, if someone was to ask me, all of the books I write can be summarized or can be outlined according to the Bible. There's scriptures. There's, it's, instead of me coming to someone and forcing doctrine on them, I can take the Word of God. He has given me a gift to where I entwine the gospel message in a story so that someone read it, and before they know it, they've been exposed to the Word of God. And Husband Love, it was a touching book for me as well, because this one was more of a, the first one was judgment, and this one was grace and mercy. And in the first one, carry out a penitent, there's a scene in this book, and it touched me because I had to stop writing. I began to weep. Someone asked me, why are you crying? When I was writing the book, there's a scene in the book where this guy was in his car. The car on fire. And there are other people in the car, and they're yelling and screaming. And this guy, in the midst of being burnt in flames, began to cry and began to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. So he begins to repent of the things that he's done. And then later on, he finds out, but there was a minister walking a few blocks over, and he heard a voice say, go to the bridge. So he runs to the bridge, shatters the window, drags the guy out, and by the time he gets the guy out to the grass, the car explodes. And they rush the guy to the hospital, and he goes off into a vision, and the Lord comes to him and begins to minister to him. This is after he accepts the Lord as his personal Savior in the hospital room. The minister is sitting in the waiting room, and God tells him to go back there. He is ready. Later on in the story, the guy begins to tell his side of the story of what happened and how you shouldn't wait till you into a moment of calamity before you turn to the Lord, that there is grace and mercy. And particular book, I wept uncontrollably. I had to push away from it because I was fearing. Because I know how it is to be on the other side, to not even have no hope. Because when I was locked up, I know the feeling of when you have no hope. So you're just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. And so we went from judgment and then this one. And it is the, within a few days, I was able to look at the different places being, and it's up in the thousands. And I just thank the Lord that there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands that they may not never meet me physically in different parts of the world. But I know one thing, they will know, and they will read about Jesus. They will read about God's grace and mercy. So they can never meet, they may never meet TK, but they'll know that TK wrote about God's grace and mercy. And that's all that matters to me.
Lord have mercy. I really see a movie coming. And we go, oh my God, we gonna find the right people to take that to the movies. Oh, that's what we need. We need to see those things. And you know, I try to tell people, yeah, we need to show God's love. We need to tell people things. I mean, you know, the sugarcoating has been gone. And we need to tell people real concrete testimonies that we can save people. You know, people used to say all the time is winding down, but yeah, it really is. Like, you see all the things that's going on. But God is, have us here to show people how to come to Him. But let me ask you this. Do you think you're in your purpose?
Yes.
Amen.
I would say this here, that yes. Because there's one universal purpose that every born-again believer has, and then that's the individual purpose. The universal purpose is we are all called to be witnesses. You know, that doesn't mean that we have to stand on top of a skyscraper and yell, Jesus is Lord. But the witness is to live what you believe in. If I believe in Him, then I should. You shouldn't see me, you know, one thing telling you about God, His grace and mercy, then see me at the liquor store drinking, you know, because then I'm being hypocritical. But the universal witness is to live the life that you believe in. The individual purpose that we all have, that everybody's called for something. You know, God doesn't, He doesn't save us just to sit down, but there's a purpose. There's a purpose, and I thank the Lord that I have finally found that path.
And the thing is, what you know, what you're saying, of course, it's a process. It's a process. Yeah. I always use the analogy of a pizza or the sun. Everybody has a purpose in that circle of path. You know, that's just a, you know, illustration. But everybody has their own purpose. I mean, God will show you. I mean, you can act like you don't know, because you know how sometimes, you know, always is me. It's never God. He has the plan. I don't want me to line up, okay? We don't want you to line up. But you know, this time goes so fast, Lord Jesus. Do me a favor. Give us a couple of nuggets that, you know, because some people kind of think they're in their purpose. Some think they wear from their purpose. Give them, you know, some information, just a couple of nuggets that you think that they need to do or just, you know, meditate on that they can actually flow into the anointing of what God has for them. And then also end that up by giving us your contact information so we can support you in everything that you do.
Okay. Well, for one thing, when you're, you know, speaking, you know, trying to find out where's my purpose, you know, you have to understand that, you know, we're not created by accident. It wasn't some random cosmic explosion where particles infused from nothing into something, but that we each have a purpose. And if you come to God sincerely and ask Him, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? Now, we know we're supposed to be letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. But we all have a calling. So we all have a purpose that may, you may be called to. There's a list of different things, but you have to understand that God has something for you to do. Now, our purpose, it has to be with, when you know you're walking in your purpose, it has to be without vanity, without self-love, without needing approval of anyone. Because when you're walking in God's purpose, then it doesn't matter if this person or that person don't like what you're doing. You know that's what God called you to do. Because I have a brother of mine, and he's a young guy. And he does Christian music. So when you're playing that CD, that's what he does, Christian rap. His name is Christopher Poet. And he does Christian poetry. And he doesn't worry about, and he does rapping. He doesn't worry about anyone else, but he knows he's walking in his purpose. And people are blessed and touched by it. And so when seeking God's purpose, when you pray with a sincere heart. So the scripture says, those that come to God must first believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when we come to Him and ask Him, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? Then you may not be able to hear His audible voice because you haven't tuned into that voice. But if you listen and feel the vent of the Spirit, then He will lead you to what you should be doing, and this one, you know you're in it, you'll feel peace. You'll feel at peace. And then it will no longer become a choice. It will become a lifestyle. And as we all seek to walk and live in that purpose, then the end result is God shall get the glory. Or whatever your purpose is, whatever you should be, then you'll find peace in it. And in that peace, God will get the glory because others will see. And they will see you and know that whatever you are doing, that something is with that person, and that something, what they will later find out, that is God. Now, my contact, you can find me on Facebook, TK Ware. You can go to the website that they just recently updated. It's www.insightful.com. We have an active blog, which we always put inspirational quotes and messages and expressions. Is the writer, dawriter.wordpress.com. For those that are on LinkedIn, you can find me up under my name, Tashambi. For those that are on Goodreads, you can find me up under my middle name, Contrail. And for those who are looking for any of my books, they're on Amazon. You can go into Barnes & Noble, and they can pull up my books. You can go into any Book Familiar, any Barnes & Noble, and they can pull it up. And if you just can't get to either one of those, just go to Google. I've been TK Ware, and I'm sure a list of things will show up.
Well, you're just so inspirational. I got to get up here and do something else now. But thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us on Good Deeds. TK Ware, you just really inspired us, and we thank God for you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And if you need anything from Good Deeds, you please contact us. I think this is going to increase, have a relationship with us, because I see you speaking a lot and been doing more things and really just doing what God has put on your heart. So we will reach out to you in the future for you to come back to be here with us on Good Deeds. But you guys, this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. You know how to contact us. We're on all the social media networks. That's Good Deeds Radio and TV Show. And you can contact us at gooddeedslive.com. And our email is gooddeedslivetvshow@gmail.com. Again, always remember, God loves you. And we love you also. And this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday.